starting new Masechta Bava Kamma. So the Mishnah begins Arba Avot Nizikin. There are four, you know, fathers of Nizikin, meaning that there are four categories of Nezek. And the Gemara will discuss these Avot Nizikin, so we'll just talk about them, you know, broadly, but the Gemara will discuss what they actually are. Some of these aren't really defined. The first one is a Shor, right, which is an ox, a boar, which is a pit, a mavet, which I'm going to leave undefined here, because the Gemara actually has machlokas as to what mavet is, the heber, right, that is biur, right, which is ish, fire. So these are the four avot nizikin. Rashi says that these are called avot nizikin because they're written in the pasuk. These four types of nizikin are found in the psukim, and therefore they're called avot. And the reason that they're in the order here, the Mishnah puts them in this order, is because that's the order that they're found in the Parshiot. And if you look in the Parshiot in Mishpatim, then it will be first Shor, then Bor, Mavir, question mark, Behever, and then H afterwards. The problem, somewhat of the problem, is that there's an argument in the Gemara as to what some of these items are. If you change or you redefine what these Avot Nizikin are, they don't really fall out in order. Tosfos over here tries to solve that problem by saying that even if you disagree in the Gemara with, say for instance, that Shor in the Gemara is for Regel, in that the damage Shor does with its Regel, then the Parshiot are not in order anymore. Nevertheless, the term Shor, or the classification of Shor, shows up in the Parshiot beforehand. And the same thing with Mavah, even though if you change the Mavah to mean Adam, Mavah here means a person who did damage, which is one of the interpretations in the Gemara, then it also doesn't show up prior, it shows up much later in the Torah. So again, Rabbeinu Tam explains that the Shem Adam shows up in Parsha Mishpatim, there's a classification of Adam that does show up prior, and therefore follows the order of the Parshiot. Otherwise, you have to explain that the order of the Reisha has to do with the Seifa, the latter half of the Mishnah, which describes a hierarchy in terms of Kulot and Chumrot, which we're going to get to in a second. Right, that's just broadly what the logic or the setup of the Avot Nizikin are. Now the Gemara says, Lo Yashor, Kare Maveh. Right? The Shor is not like a Maveh. When you say Lo Hare, it means that the Kula of a Shor is not like the Kula of a Maveh. Right? Lo Hare Maveh, Kare Yashor. The two are not necessarily comparable. But Lo Zeh V'Zeh, those two cannot be compared to the others or not, right, learnable from the others, because Yesh Behen, Ruach Chaim, because they're alive. Again, now the possibilities in the Gemara of Shor and Mavet is what's included in the classification of Shor. The possibilities are Karen, Shin, Regel, Mavet, right, also, if you think that the Shor in the Mishnah is Karen, then Mavet might be Regel, right, might be one of the other damages of Shor. If you think Shor encompasses, right, more than Karen or Regel in the Mishnah, then Mavet is Adam. But both of those are alive, alright, so since they're both alive, that's a one thing that you cannot learn from to the other. Below is the, then when you go Kariyash, right, these, both of these have, are alive, Kariyash, is not a live being, Shembo Rachayim. Below Zeb is the, Shadarkan Lelechel Azit, and all these three, meaning that Shor, Mave, and Eish, are not similar to Hare Abor, Shembo Lelechel Azit, meaning that all these other items move around and cause damage, whereas the boar is stationary, right, and it causes damage. Has Zada Shaveshabhen, the common thread between all of these different types of nezek, and the Gemara will explain what is included by that. I mean, why is this general statement as Savashabhen? Shadarkan Azik, that these are things that are normally go out and do damage. Ushmiratan alecha, and you have to take care of them, meaning that you have to ensure that they don't do damage. Ukushehezik, chava mazik leshalem leshuminezik. And if they go out and do damage, then you will be held accountable for the damage that's done. Right? And you have to pay b'meitav haaretz. Chava mazik l'shem teshlumei nezek b'meitav haaretz. But if you decide to pay not with money, right, but rather with land, when you pay with land, you've got to pay with the finest, the best land. You know, we'll talk about categories of land. There are three categories of land, right? There's idit, which is the best, you know, quality land. There's benonit, normal land. And then there's ziburit, the worst quality land. So here's what it says, that Mishnah says that if you're going to pay through land equivalents, you've got to give the best quality land to pay. Right, all this stuff will be broken down in the Gemara. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara just addresses the first concept of the word avot here, which is miktani avot, miklal, the ikatol dosis. Right? The fact that the Mishnah actually uses the term avot implies that matter, and the implications are that there are toldot. I mean, if you have, otherwise, why call them avot? Right? If you can talk, you can say arba, right? You can say arba kutot, you can say arba categories of nizikin. The term avot is a term that's laid in, which means that there's also toldot associated with them. Right now, the cloud, you can toldot. Now, the Gemara doesn't even ask you what the toldot are. The Gemara wants to know one thing. Toldotem, kiyotzebeim, or lav kiyotzebeim. Are the toldot similar to the avot, or not similar to the avot? What does that mean? Right, so now Gemara is going to give us two examples from other places in Shas where we have avot and toldot, and discuss what that means. Right, so now the Gemara says we have by Gabi Shabbat Tnan. Shabbat says avot milachot arba'im chaser achas. We know that there are 39 av milachot. Right, then based on that again, mechlal the toldot. If there are 39, you know, broader avot categories, then that means that there are 30 under those categories, or there are subcategories called toldot. And there we know toldotehem kiyotzebehem. By Shabbos, the toldot have the same standing as the avot. Loshna av chatat, loshna tolda chatat. Doesn't matter if you violate the av, you're chayev b'shogeg. If you violate b'shogeg, you're chayev chatat. Loshna tolda. If you violate a tolda, right, a derivative or a subcategory, if you violate, you're still chayav a chatat. Loshna av tila. Doesn't matter if you do an av v'meizid, you'll be chayav tila. Loshna tolda tila. And if you do or violate a tolda, subcategory or a derivative, you're also chayav tila if you do it v'meizid. So ma'ika ben av the tolda. If that's the case, right, then why designate the term av and tolda? Why should it make a difference at all? Meaning that if you think that toldotehem, kiyotzebehem, then why make draw such a distinction at all? That there's a difference between an av and a toldah. I mean, if they're all one category, right, then just say that any melacha or all these are melachot. How can you draw a distinction of what's unique about these 39 melachot? The guy says, nafkamino, the difference between them, or the nafkamino between them is the ilu. Avich de avot vehade adadi. If you do two avot simultaneously, then you are chayav on each av independently. I mean that if you do, you know, planting, right, and borer at the same time, right, then both of those will require you to be either two chataot if you do b'shogeg, or you'd be, quote-unquote, chayav tefillah twice if, right, you did it b'meziz. Inami, shtei toldot, b'hadei adari mechayav akol chad v'chad. And that is also true by toldot. If you do two derivative melachot, or subcategories of melacha, right, you will be chayav for each one independently. So again, still no distinction between an av and a tolda. Here comes the distinction. V'ilu avid av v'tolda didei lo mechayev elechado. If you do an av melacha, a general category of melacha, and a derivative or subcategory of that melacha, then you will only be chayev one chatat. You've only violated, right, in this instance, you can only be violated the general category, the av with the tolda. So that will not be, they will not draw a distinction. So that's the difference between an av and a tolda over here.
What about an av and a separate tolda? It doesn't fall into that.
Right, that will be two separate. Right, that will be two separate. It has to be the subcategory, an av and tolda didei. It has to be its own tolda. Right, so only if it's a subcategory of that particular av will you only get one, you only be chayv one chatat, you only be chayv one tekila. But if the tolda, meaning that you have separately from a different category, you have a tolda and you have an av from this category, then you'll be chayev twice, because you can't say that the tolda is subsumed inside of the av. The only way you can say that it's subsumed inside of the av is if that tolda belongs to that particular av. That's just a category. Now, that works fine according to Rav Anan. Ula Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer presents us with a different issue, which is the mechayev at tolda b'makom av. Rabbi Eliezer says that doesn't matter. Even a subcategory, even a tolda, within the same av category will require you to be, or you will be chayiv two chataot. I mean, that's not enough. Doesn't make them into two independent items. Then, a maikar li av, ver maikar li tolda. Rabbi Lezer just wiped away, right, our distinction between an av and a tolda. We have an explanation. According to Rabbi Eliezer, what is this distinction between av and tolda? Now, the Gemara gives an answer. There are numerous girsaot as to what this answer is. And the girsaot will make a difference, or a big difference in how one understands it. I'll read you the girsa that we have here. I'll point that Tosfos here has another girsa. Tosfos in Shabbat has an additional girsa. And each of those will have nafkaminos about what is classified as an av. So the way we have our girsa, the girsa in our Gemara now, is, right, Hach to have a mishkan chashiva karele av. Hach love a mishkan chashiva karele tolda. The way it argues to read is that which was in the mishkan, right? Chashiva karele av. Right, that whatever was in the mishkan and was chashuv, it sounds like, and was chazuv. Hach to love a mishkan chashiva karele tolda. That was in the mishkan, not chashiva. That was called, right, a toldan. Now, what does that mean? So look, you can look at Tosfos below. Tosfos in the bottom says Hachigar Sina. Right, so he says the gear according to Tosfos is Hach Tavi Mishkan Chashiva Karele Av Hach Talavi Mishkan Chashiva Karele Tolda. Right, so now Lefi Hach Pirsa according to this Gesser Balafuke Kamam Melachot Shlo Ayu Chashuvim VeAyu BeMishkan. And this comes to exclude certain Melachot that were not Chashuv, but they were in the Mishkan. The Tolda Ninu. Right, that. And they are classified as a tolda. And according to this Yirsa, that you could have something that is in the Mishkan, a melacha that took place or transpired in the Mishkan, but nevertheless, it is not chashuv. And since it's not chashuv, right, therefore it has a classification as a tolda. Right, so, well, you know, maybe this breaks some of the stereotypes about an av melacha. We always think av melacha is those things that transpire in the Mishkan. The way this Yirsa reads is that not only is it in the Mishkan, but it has to be something that, right, was in the Mishkan that was Chashuv. But if it's not Chashuv, and it was in the Mishkan, it will be classified as a Toldah, a derivative Melacha. Right? And the Tosfos brings an example of something like Hachnasa. Right? Hachnasa was a Toldah of Hutza'ah. Right? That Hachnasa, bringing things in, or a Toldah of Motzi, taking things out. The only Melacha mentioned in the Mishnah is Hutza'ah. Right? Yet Hachnasa is not included, even though it was found in the Mishkan. Right, because they used to move the board, right, in the Mishkan, and that's it, they have Hachnasa. So it says, you have an example of a Melacha, that is, right, a Melacha that is found in the Mishkan, and yes, it'll still be classified as a Toldah, according to this Girsa.
Why is the Chashuv?
Right, so then you have to discuss, again, why these distinctions drop. What makes something Chashuv and not Chashuv? And even that is questionable because the Rabbeinu Tam many times in Shabbat says that a hotza is a malachat kala. That hotza really, we can't learn a hotza is an exception to a rule because in many places hotza is a malachat kala. It's not like a real malacha as opposed to other malachot. So even there, then how do you classify? It's even more right questionable. How do you classify hotza as a chashiva and not a hotza, or how do you make those distinctions? That's for, I'm going to leave that for Gemara Shabbat. I'm just pointing it out here because it's an important in the Girsa. Or maybe right when they traveled, that was when the Hachnasa took place. Maybe that's a possibility. That happens to be Machlokas Rashi in the Rabbeinu Kanano in the Gemara and Shabbos in the Perek Shvi. Well, how do you classify what was done in the Mishkan? Right? Is what was done in the Mishkan only Melechet HaMishkan, as Rashi said, that the building of the Mishkan is classified? Or even in the Avodah of the Mishkan, is that classified as the Rabbeinu Kanano? That possibly, because that you have with the Samanin. Like with the spices, making of the spices, right? Was that only done for the making of what, when classifying of what was built when the Mishkan was being built, or was that classified even for the avoda that transpired? I think it's true, maybe according to Rashi, maybe not so according to Ben Chanan. So then, Tosfos brings an additional gear there. But the garse, the achtav mishkan b'chashiva, there's a vav there. Kari le av, hachlov a mishkan b'lo chashiva, kari le tolda. The feed here's the zoo, according to this gear, so, right? Sarek lamar, the bai tarta, you need both. In that case, that if it's only one, if you only have one of these two categories, possibly, right, then it would not qualify as a malacha. There's additional girsa that Tosfos brings in the Gemara and Shabbos, and this girsa really has the big nafkamina, says that, brings the girsa, igarsin hach, the havot b'mishkan chashiva, v'kar le'av. That which is found in the Mishkan is automatically chashiva, and therefore it's called an av. After love Mishkan, lo chashivi vela kari le'av. Uvizet todot lahavu b'mishkan. So that, according to that girsa, which says that what defines something as chashuv is the fact that it's in the Mishkan. Right? So there are, depending on how your goreis here, you will end up with different lists or categories of avot. And according to the girsa that Tosfos brings in the Gemara and Shabbos, which is on Tzadik Vav Amidbet, Tosfos with the Rabbi Eliezer, it's similar to our Gemara here. Tosfos over there brings the possibility that if you just are in the Mishkan, you are chashuv. So being in the Mishkan, by definition, makes you chashuv. Whereas the way Tosfos gears over here is, being in the Mishkan doesn't automatically make you chashuv. Being in the Mishkan qualifies you to be an av melacha. Then in addition to that, you need chashiva. So only if you're in the Mishkan plus your Chashiva, then you can qualify as an Av Melacha. But just because you're in the Mishkan doesn't automatically make you Chashuv. Again, this will have, it's a Sugi and Shabbos, I'm pointing it out, because it's an important, how your Gori is here, has major Nafkaminos in terms of how you qualify or what you classify as the 39 Av Melachot, and then you have to explain each one within your category. How does it fit in? I mean, how are they all found in the Mishkan? Right? Or if you say Mishkan Chashiva, what do you define as Chashiva, what do you define as not Chashiva? Right, those will depend on how you are goris in this Gemara. Alright, now, Gemara brings down another category. This is what prompted the Gemara's question, is that Shabbos, we know, Toto Dayan, Kiyotze Bahem. Right, over here, right, we have, by Shabbos, it's clear that Toto Dayan, Kiyotze Bahem. What's the Nafkamina for Toldot? Right, the Rabbanan takes the Nafkamina.
That whole discussion was really something according to Rabbi Eliezer.
This last piece here is according to Rabbi Eliezer, but it's true for everybody. I mean, this is an Nafkamina for Rabbi Eliezer, but it's true, this split between Avot and Toldot, right? It's not as meaningful because we have a more meaningful split between Avot and Toldot. Right, according to the Chachamim, right, we said that the difference between Av and Toldot is that if you have a subcategory of an Av, then you only be Chayv once if you violate both of them. Right, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the difference between them is what's classified as an Av and a Toldot based on the Chashiva Mishkan. What that has Nafkamina for, Tosfos here discussed a little bit, maybe for Hasra, right, maybe you have to, whether you can use the broader category to find the Toldot, right, or you have to get the specific Toldot right if you messed up two Toldot. What exactly happens with an Av and Toldot, what the answer for Rabbi Eliezer is, that Tosfos discusses. Right, again, this is more for the Gemara Shabbos. Now, here, Gabe Tumot. The other place we have a vote is by Tuma. It says a vote of Tumot, right, these are the higher level of Tuma, which means that they are an Av HaTuma. Right, an Av HaTuma is a Sheret, Shechvat Zera, and Tamei Meit. Someone that was Mitamei touched the Meit. All of these are in categories of Av HaTuma. So that comes the term Av. Todem, Lafiotem. By Tuma, we know clearly that Tuma has a step down, right, category. As a person touches something of a higher level Tuma, they accept the Tuma that is a step down a lower level. Therefore, Todem, Lafiotem. Why? The Ilu Av Metame Av Vikelim. And Av Tuma is able to then be Metame, Adam, people, and Kelim. They can make a Rishon the Tuma, right, in every category. Right? The Ilu Todos. Right, when it comes to something that was touched by a person, say a person touches another person, that person is now a Rishon L'Tumah, that person is unable to be Metame Adam B'Kelim, they can only be Metame Ochlin U'Mashkim. They're going to be touched foods and liquids. So what do you see there clearly? That the Toldot, derivatives of Tumah, have a different function than the Ava Tumah. As you get a derivative of Tumah, they are less powerful, right, than the Ava Tumah, because they can only be Metame, a smaller category of smaller number of categories once they drop down in Tuma. So there you see by Tuma clearly, Toda Deem, Lav Keyotze Ben, right, that they are not, the Toldot are not similar to the Av, the Toldot are different than the Avot, significantly different in their ability to Mitame other things. So this does ask the question that there is in a Tuma also something called Toda Deem Keyotze Ben, which is Harev Harev Keklav. If metal touches a Avia Avot Tuma, touches a dead body, or if metal touches an Ava Tuma, they retain the same level as the Tuma that they touched. So for instance, metal that touches a mace, right, based on that, would be also an Avia Avot Tuma. Or if metal touches an Ava Tuma, it would also possibly be the same level as an Ava Tuma. So there you see that there are categories that, what are Kiyotze Behen, even by Tuma. Why is it so obvious to the Gemara that it's, right, Tosfos answers similar to what Shaul is saying here, that there's a thought of that Cherev is Harei Kukriflav, and actually there is a difference. What's the difference? That metal that touched a dead body, so a dead body is an Avia Bota Tuma, right? You can create Ava Tuma, and then metal that touched it is also Avia Bota Tuma, right? And it can make Ava Tuma. What the metal can't do, that the body can do, is another piece of metal. That comes along and touches that dead body, it would also be, again, Avia Bota Tuma. Metal comes and touches the metal, it steps down the category. It cannot replicate Cherev Harei Kukriflav. So even something that is created on the same level as the Tuma, right, cannot replicate itself, meaning that it cannot create also another Cherev Harei Kukriflav. So you see, even in that category, there is an exception, meaning that the derivative is different than the original, or the Ava Tuma. So it says that by Tuma, even though we have same levels, there's still something different about the Toldot, which is that it can't replicate itself, whereas an Av can replicate itself over and over again. Hachamai, I'm sorry. Over here, what's the story about Avot and Zikin? So Amar Rav Papa, Yeshman Tiyotzen, Yeshman Lav Tiyotzen. There are some that are Todot that are exactly like the Avot, and there are some Todot that are not like the Avot. Right? Rav Papa just makes a general statement, but doesn't tell us what that is, or doesn't help us with this. So now the next Gemara is really gonna go through. We're gonna go through a Braisa that keeps explaining it's Avot Todot, Avot Todot. I'm gonna be searching for the statement of Rav Papa, which is, which ones are similar, and which ones are not similar, because Rav Papa makes a general statement and doesn't tell us which falls into which category. Now the Gemara brings the Braisa, and then again, the Gemara is going to stop the Braisa, investigate, then continue the Braisa, investigate, and you'll see that as we go through. So now, Tanu Rabbanan, Gimel Avot, Namru B'Shur. There are three, you know, Avot categories by Shur. Hakeren, Vashen, Varegel. Right, there are three major categories by a shore, by an ox. Karen is goring, right? Rego is using their feet, kicking, walking. We'll see in a second, you know, maybe what I just said is not so correct. And Shane is eating. Right, so Karen Milavan. How do we know that Karen is one of the Avot Malachot? I mean, how do we know that it's actually written in Torah? Or how do we know that it's found that that's qualified as an Avotumah? An Av of Nezikin. Right, so why is that? The Tanur Rabbanan. The pasuk says in Mishpatim that if kigach shor, right, when a shor goes in and does igach, what is that? What does it mean? Igach. What does the word igach mean? So we know that the Gemara says brightly here says about igach and igicha lo bekeren. Igicha is qualified that it's done with a horn, right, with a keren shenemar. Vayaspo tizkia ben tana karnei barzel. So Tzidkiah ben Kenana makes for himself a trumpet out of iron, right? Or a horn out of iron. But Yomar Koam Arashem Be'ela Tinet Gach Et Aram. With these you will be Nogeach Aram. So what is the verb that's associated with Keren? The verb associated with Keren is Nagach. Ve'omer. The Gemara brings another proof. B'chor Sheror Hadar Lo. Right? By the Bracha of Yosef, right? In Zota Bracha. It's B'chor Sheror Hadar Lo. B'karnei Re'im Karnav. You have the horns of a Re'im. Right, behem amim yinagach yachtav. Right, so there yinagach again. The verb yinagach is associated with a keren. So there we see that the word, anytime the word yigach or the word yigach is used, what is the object that is done or used to do the nigicha? That verb nigicha, that is a keren. Now the word goes my omer. Why do I need two psukachit? Ema divrei Torah mi divrei kabbalah lo yofinan. So you'll say, right, like Zvi suggesting over here. Why did you bring a puzzle from Navi first and then a puzzle from the Torah? So maybe you're thinking that, hey, puzzle from Navi is not sufficient to learn from. So then, in addition to that, I'll bring you a puzzle from the Torah. So then, where it says, "Hashma b'choshura adolov v'hai meilus." So the Gemara says, "What are you talking about? First of all, this is not a limud. What's restricted from learning from, right, the Divrei Kabbalah? From learning from Rashi over here is defined Divrei Kabbalah as Nevi'im Ketuvim." That what you're not allowed to learn out from Navi, it's not that a din, chayav, patur, a din, that's not what you're not allowed to learn out from. So when you say divrei Torah, divrei Kabbalah, lo nefina, we don't learn out dinim in the Torah from Navi and Ketuvim, that's when you're talking about an actual halacha. But, gilui milka ba'al mahu, right, when you're talking about just defining what a word means, that is showing us a piece of information that is just helping us to define a word in the Torah, that's totally permitted to be learned out of Navi. Because Navi is not teaching us a new din. It's just showing us the word Igach, when it's used in the Torah, means this. Not that it teaches you this is the din by Igach, right? It's just defined from the word, and that's allowed. So that can't be the distinction between them. Right? So Navi and Torah are on equal footing when it comes to trying to define a term. And therefore that difference of Navi and Torah becomes irrelevant, and that can't be the reason why we brought the two psukim down.
And also the one, why would the Navi one first?
Right. Then it becomes irrelevant whether Navi or Torah, because we can bring Navi before Torah because they both hold the same standing now. When it comes to defining or Gili Milsa, Navi and Torah are on equal footing. And it doesn't matter where you bring the proof from. When the Torah draws a distinction in category between Tam and Muad, this is something I haven't discussed yet, but Shor comes in two classifications. A Shor Tam is a Shor that has only begun its career of goring, and there you only chayav chatzi nezek for half the compensation. Or the Muad is someone who already has a recurring theme or recurring instances of goring, then he becomes already classified as a professional gorer, and there you chayav nezek shalem. So you would have thought that the distinction between Tam and Muad is Hanimile Bitlusha. That distinction is only by Tlusha. Why? Because the Pasuk in Navi is talking about a Karen that is, right, taken out. What does that mean? It's taken out? It's separated, because he's making the Karen. Karen's detached. So I would think that when do you classify Karen as an unusual category? When the shore takes a corn in his mouth, and then he goes ahead and he gores within his mouth. Because that's unusual. That's when you say that it's chatzi nezek. That's the only bichai of half nezek, because it's such an unusual category. But if he gores with on his head, that's what oxen do. If that's what they do, then it'll be a muad from the start. So I was like, if I only brought the pasuk from Navi, I would have thought this distinction between tlusha, between tam and muad, only has to do with the karen that is tlusha. Then I bring the pasuk from the Torah, right, about mechumberet, emakula muadati. Then I would say by mechumberet, when it's attached, it's all in the category of muad. Tashma. So I bring the second pasuk to show you, b'chor sharo, hadar lo, right, to show you that even when it's attached, the verb yigach is used. Even when it's still attached, then you use the verb yigach. And when it's attached, when you use the word yigach, that means that even within attached form, an attached gorin, then we still classify that there's a distinction between muad and tam. And that's why we brought both psukim down, to show you that that both of them qualify to be yigach, both tlusha and attached. And again, the kiddush will go the other way. If you only wrote the attached one, you would say there is a distinction between tam and muad. But he puts it in his mouth, that's always unusual, maybe, right? And therefore, he can never become a muad like that. So therefore, we brought both down to show you that yigach, they're both verbs. The verb yigach is used in both cases. And therefore, they both have this distinction of tam and muad, that they first are considered to be unusual, and then they become more common if he recurrently does such an action. Now, told us to Kevin. Now the Gemara says, okay, Karen is this ob category. What are the subcategories of Karen? The Mahi, Nigifa, bumping, Nishika, biting, Ribisa, sitting, Ubita, and kicking. So Gemara says, Maishna Nigicha, the Karle Av. Right, why is Nigicha called an Av? Because Pasuk says, Dikhtav, Higach, right, Higach Shor and Ish. Right, when a shore goes ahead and gores a man. So you see, the verb Higach is used by the term goring. So therefore, it's written in the Torah. That's why it's classified as an av. Nigifa namikpid. Right? It says in the Torah also the word yigof. I mean, that the term yigof is also used in the Torah. Yigaf, yigof shoret ish et shoreyu. Right? When a shore, I'll bring you the psukim tomorrow so you have it in front of you. But if yigof shoret ish et shoreyu. Right? So the term yigof is also used in the Torah. So why are you classifying yigaf goring as an av? And yigof, which is bumping, as they told us, they're both found in the Pasuk. Once the Torah writes Kigach, and once the Torah writes Kigof. So they both should be classified as an Av. So when it says, Nigifa, Nigifa, truthfully, that Nigifa that's found in the Torah is not Nigifa like we're learning here in the Braise, meaning bumping. The Nigifa used in that instance in the Torah is gory. The Tanya, how do you know this? Pasach bin Nigifa, the Pasuk begins Kigof, Shor Ish, and Shor Re'eyu, right? And then at the end of the Pasuk it says, Kishor Nagachu. So it switches the verb from nigifa to nigicha. The sayim be nigicha. Lomacha, zuhi nigifa, zuhi nigicha. To teach you that they're synonyms. Nigifa and nigicha in the Torah, those two verbs are synonyms. They both mean goring. In the Braisa, nigifa means bumping, which is a different category. Now, why do you have to ask? Maishna gabi ogam, dechtib kigach. Why does the Torah change the verb, igach and igoch? Just use igach all the time. Why by a man? By a person, when a shore gores another, a human being, it uses the verb kigach. Maishna gavi behema. By behema it says kigof shor ish et shoreyu. It uses the term kigof. So that's what the distinction must be between the object of the goring. The object of the goring is a person, and it says kigach, and that's where the verb is used. When the object of the goring is a animal, it uses the verb kigof. So that must be the distinction. What is the distinction? If they both mean goring, why should there be a distinction of who the object of his goring is? That's the Gemara says, Ozum Dizle Mazlo Ktiz Kigah. A person who has Mazlo, it says Kigah. Behema Zalekle Mazlo Ktiz Kigo. Behema that does not have Mazlo, it writes Kigo. What does Mazlo mean? Over here, Rashi brings down two definitions of what the Mazlo means. One possibility is the Itzle Mazlo is Sheishlo Dat Lishmoret Kufo. Right? That he has ability to watch himself. I mean, Mazlo means that. More that he is a thinking being and that he can protect himself or think about or be aware of his surroundings, enough aware of his surroundings to protect himself, as opposed to a behema who's just, you know, there and not as aware of what's going on, won't protect himself as well. That's basically, so yigach is a verb that's used to mean more, has to be intentional, really intentional goring, because to hit a person, you'd really have to be, you know, focused and kavanah, have that, intent. As opposed to an animal, which he can gore, I mean, it does be intentional, but still has to be less focused, because to gore another shore is easier than goring a person. That's one possibility about what the difference between mazel. Or the Alishna Akarina Rashi brings is that it's Islay mazel ve noach amito ben gifa. That a person has mazel, and therefore they have, I don't know what you call it, a stronger sense of survival. And then, not sense, but a stronger survival. I mean, even when they get hurt, human beings are more likely to recover from that type of injury. And therefore, you'll need a much more severe injury to a person than you do to an animal. An animal with a slighter injury will, you know, not survive that injury, whereas a human being needs a much stronger, because their mouth is something that someone's looking out for them, or something is guiding them to survive beyond, you know, to a certain point.
True.
Other places uses the word mazel again, that people who have mazel can have fear, right? Because they are, there's something else, there's like some sort of other subconscious or category, so either that something else is protecting them, something else is looking out for them, meaning that there's an area that's beyond their cognitive understanding around them, and therefore they can either, they survive longer because their destiny is to live longer, or they, right, they are able to have a better survival instinct, or they have their mind, things, other areas, other beings, or are guardians that are taking care of them, whatever that means in Maslow over here. What does it teach us? What's the difference between Negicha and Negicha? That there's a difference. We just said that there's a level of intense difference between Negicha and Negicha. The Mu'adah Adam Abi Mu'adah Behema. If an animal on a recurring basis, meaning that has gored people, then we assume that he will also gore animals, because it takes a higher level of focus and intent to gore a person, and therefore if he already has that ability to do it, and on a recurring basis, then certainly he can gore animals and inflict damage. That's not a question. That is not true the other way around. That if an animal is able to damage, or on a recurring basis damage animals, that does not necessarily mean that he'll damage people, either because of his fear of people, or because, again, the survival instinct, whatever the mazel means that it's much harder, it requires much more intent and strength to hurt a person. And therefore, just because he's hurt animals on a recurring basis does not mean that he will hurt people on a recurring basis, and he'll still be classified as a tam for Adam, even though he's a muad for other animals. Neshicha. So the man says, wait, you just said that one of the subcategories of Karen is neshicha, bite. Told her to shame me. What do you mean? Why is that a subcategory of Karen? That should be a subcategory of, right, eating or a shame. So the man says, look, shame yeshanala zeka. No, shame is a category where you have to get benefit from what's doing the damage. So it's called eating. Right? Eating by a shore is damaging because he's going to field to eat. That's not what it is. But there he's eating because he's getting benefit from his. Hi, and I know Azika. Here he's biting. He's not biting for any personal benefit. He's biting to do damage, not to get benefits. That's why he was classified as a subcategory of Karen, of Karen and not as a subcategory of shame. Revisa ubiita. Revisa means sitting down and smushing on something. Ubita means kicking something. So those are the regular. Those are, right, really should be subcategories of regal, for doing damage with your legs. Lo, regal is zika matsui. That's a zika that's matsui, meaning that an animal does type of damage while he's walking. Just in the natural course of walking, they go and they trample on things. That's something that's common. Honey, and a zika matsui. To see that an animal intentionally sits down on something to crush it, or kick, blade, right, kicks out, those are much more unusual actions, and those are kavanah tanla hazik. Those are intended to damage versus things that are everyday occurrences or regular, the animal does without any intent or without question here. The question is not whether animals are intending when they sit down. Are they intending to sit down or not sit down? The point is that when they damage in such a manner, right, that's not something that they really are doing, they don't do on a regular basis. Meaning that animals don't sit down on either. It's a question. They sit down to rest. Okay?
So then if they sit down on something that, and it became crushed,
right.
How do you know whether he's done it intentionally or it's just...
No, we assume that he hasn't. We assume that it isn't. And we assume generally it's unintentional, that's why he's a tom. I mean, that we don't, we'll only make like a Karen. That's the point here. It's not matsui. That's not the regular way an animal behaves. It's not the regular way an animal behaves. He'll be in the category of Karen, where until he does it on a recurring basis, we won't assume that it's intentional. If he then sits three different times on Kalim, then we can start to worry that this animal is the, you know, the sitting animal that wants to crush Kalim. That's the point. All right, Ella. So that's it. Ella. Tadeum Zalav Kiyosu Behen. Say, I'm a papa. Hi. Right, what's that going on? This told the same lot of then. Ilem ahani, if you're talking about these subcategories of Karen, Maishma Karen, the Kabanatola Zik, Umamanoch, Umumon Chaushmiratan Alecha, All these Karen, these subcategories of Karen, the Gifah, bumping, the Shichah, fighting, the Bitsa, right, is sitting on, Bitsa, kicking, they are all subcategories of Karen, and they're exactly like Karen. What is that? There has to be intent for damage, right? They're intending to damage, there's no other benefit to doing these items. They belong to you, Shmirat Alecha, and you gotta watch them. They're exactly like the Av. All these subcategories of Karen look exactly like Karen itself. So that can't be, that's Tzotzotam Kiyotzeben. Now we can't find this other category that our Papa set up, which is Tzotzotam Lav Kiyotzeben. Elda, find them as Karen, right. Elda, Tzotzot the Karen, to Karen. And these subcategories of Karen are exactly like Karen. Chikamara Papa, Shane Veregel. Right, then he talks about the Shane and Regel. What are Shane and Regel? We'll just quickly read the Pesukim. We'll finish up this Gemara tomorrow. Shane and Regel, hey, Kitzbiba. How do you know Shane and Regel are included in the Torah? The Tanya, Bishilach, Zer Regel. Right? Again, I'll bring the Pesukim to bring the Pesukim tomorrow. It says in the Torah, Shilach, Zer, Beer, Beseh, Deacher. The word Shilach means referring to Regel, damage or trampling. Right? Vechenu, Omer, Meshalchei, Regel, Shor, Vechomor. So yeah, we see that the term Meshalchei, the verb, Shilach, is used to define something where damage is done by regal, by the legs or the trampling of animals. Ubier, ubier b'se'achter, right, the word bier, the verb bier is to shame. V'cheinu omer, kasher yiba'er ha'glal atumo, right, until he consumes the glal atumo, until it's totally finishes. How do you know the word here, yiba'er or glal means teeth? So Rashi gives two definitions. One is ha'nu shame, right, because upamim migulet, upamim michuset, the word galal over here means golet, meaning it's open and closed. So shame is something that sometimes you see the teeth, sometimes you don't see the teeth. They've been mouth is open or closed. That means kashivera glau. Glau is referring to the teeth that are sometimes visible and not visible. The other Rashi says glau means like rage. Glau means refuse that comes out of an animal. And why is it all crushed up the refuse? Because he chews it. I mean that the teeth are what cause the refuse to be all crushed. And therefore the glau over here is referring to what the teeth do to the food. They crush up the food. The last Tosfos brings to the Beinu Chananel the possibility that glau over here is like a Evan glau. It's like ivory or shayis or marble, right? Which is what teeth. Teeth look like, right? An ivory or marble. They look similar to that stone. And therefore it says, Kasheyi Vaera glau means that it consumes like the stone, meaning that what is stone? Stone in the body is the teeth, right? They look like this marble. They look like ivory. That defines as the teeth. All right, we'll continue with this tomorrow.